Okay, this is Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Mr. Walter Bowert, and we want to tell you about that if you're going to just read one book to try to understand what it's all about, you need to get a book written by Professor Quigley entitled Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. The tragedy is the wars, the inhumanity of man for man, and the hope is the new dictatorship that's coming. And, of course, the story is the story of a secret society that was created by Cecil John Rhodes, who was the man for whom the Rhodes Scholarships in Rhodesia was named, and his plan to create a world government under the control of a ruling elite. Now, it sounds like something that might have come out of James Bond or out of one of the pocketbooks you'd pick up at the library. The tragedy is that it's really true. And Tragedy and Hope, outlining the background of this secret society, was such a good book that the publisher, Macmillan Company, destroyed the plates to the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. The book actually not only chronicles the secret society as it was created, as it came to dominate England at the time of the Boer War and then to the time of the First World War, but then it came to America and through a front group established the Council on Foreign Relations. That's page 952 of the book. On page 866, Professor Quigley tells us what the real plan is. And that is, we're going into an authoritarian system. Everything is going to be planned. We're going to have a number from the time we're born till the time we die. And we'll even get death benefits. An amazing story. He tells us the real truth about the political system. We'll have an opportunity to vote. Of course, there really won't be much difference between the two political parties, but we'll have that feeling that we're having something to do with what's going on. On pages 1200 and 1201, he lets you know that there's no way that you're going to be able to influence what's coming down the line. You certainly can't fight the government, you know, with the weapons we have when they have the sophisticated weapons that they have. So you might as well sit back on page 1201. He lets you know that the dictatorship that's coming really won't be so bad. You may be able to have a pretty good life. Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time, will tell you the truth about who financed and who backed Adolf Hitler, which you'll never learn every other place. And this may very well explain why we had no aversion to those Nazi war scientists. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Okay, this is Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Mr. Walter Bowert. Our subject, mind control in America. And Mr. Bowert comes from the Freedom of Thought Foundation, and we're going to tell you in just a moment how to get in touch with Mr. Bowert. My telephone number here in Santa Cruz, 464-8295, or outside Santa Cruz, but anywhere within the reach of my voice, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and I'll tell you, Mr. Bowert is known all across America for his work, for his initial book. Did that initial book sort of go out of print or whatever happened to it?
Well, yeah, I think it was suppressed. They paid me full royalties, and it was published in several languages around the world, and then it never was reprinted again. It went out of large print runs, and it went out of print quickly. And actually, I believe it was pulled off the stand. We could never prove it. I got a lawyer. We ran around with the publisher. Of course, the publishing company was then sold, and the history of the book, trying to reprint it over the years, is a very funny history, because it would get to, the editors would love it, the marketing department would love it, and then it would get up to the top, and some vice president would like it, and then they'd be fired, or the company would be sold, and this went on a good 15 or half dozen, or dozen times. One publisher after another, and we never have. And so finally, the Freedom of Thought Foundation has published in a limited researcher's edition that's got some typos in it, but it's almost sold out. It's a numbered, signed, autographed copy of about 800 pages, large pages. You know, they're 8.5 by 11 pages, suitable for Xeroxing, with a permit like a shareware kind of permit, so the person can pay the royalties and then Xerox it.
Okay, fine. And so you're just trying to get this information out across America, and people get that through the Freedom of Thought Foundation. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can write at Post Office Box 35072 in Tucson, Arizona, 85740-5072.
Wait a minute now, 5072. We're going to have to go that because you're so fast. But
okay.
Go ahead, finish up, and we'll do it again.
Okay. Or they can email me at freethought, F-R-E-E-T-H-O-T, at Juno, J-U-N-O, .com. And let me give you the address again, Freedom of Thought Foundation, Post Office Box 35072, Tucson, Arizona, 85740-5072.
And that's Freedom...
Freethought at Juno... .com.
F-R-E-T-H-O-T?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
At Juno.
At Juno.com.
.com. Okay.
That's the fastest way.
Okay, fine. And they can actually get you.
And if they'll send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll be happy to send them some literature free.
Okay, very good. So if you'd like to get in touch with Mr. Bowert, that's how you did it. And if you didn't get that message, you call Kim there at the desk. I bet she's got it. In fact, she's even putting it up there on the screen for us right as we speak.
And I'll tell you what, if the first 25 people who get in touch with me mention your show, and I'll send them a free newsletter.
Okay, very good. So
that reveals for the first time some of Timothy Leary's involvement with the CIA.
So you think that I've always suspected there was a force behind Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
And he seemed to always to have enough money all the time pushing... His deception of LSD. Was he really using this himself, or was he just trying to get people to use it?
Well, I think mainly he was. He started out as a scientist, you know, in Berkeley, doing research. His wife committed suicide, and he had two children. Left him with two children, and he was very much in need of funds. And he had a drinking buddy who was a CIA asset, who said. He's doing assessment of personality assessment work, which the CIA was very much interested in. And so the drinking buddy networked Leary with the CIA, and suddenly he got a grant to further his work, his research, and he was invited to be a professor at Harvard. The dean of the psychology department at Harvard, both the key top two people there, were former OSS men who had written The Assessment of Men, which is a book still used by the intelligence agencies today to select spies and CIA operatives. And Leary then went on to do his How to Change Behavior research using psychedelic drugs. And, of course, the Boston Globe asked him in recent years whether or not he had the prisoners sign consent forms, and he said that they did. But the general consensus is that he slicked by them. He just the one person stated, well, he was far more sophisticated than the wardens or the anybody at the prison. So he just pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. But and the How to Change Behavior is a pretty lightweight thing. Here's his book on personality assessment written in the 50s has the scientific clout today of a book on phrenology would.
So he actually did a lot of experiment then in the prisons on prisoners, basically on how to best to control them.
Yeah, how to change behavior was the idea, you know.
No, was he successful at all?
Well, I'm sure LSD is a very interesting. And that whole line of psychotropic drugs, and of course the research has gone on since then, but it apparently suspends the conditioning for a certain period of time. So a person can be reconditioned. Trouble is that if you're not reconditioned, the original conditioning seems to come back stronger than it was the first time.
Well,
you get all your bad habits back.
We hear, we hear about some people who've taken LSD, and it just wipes them out forever. I mean, they just become sort of turnips or vegetables.
Well, yes, I've heard that too, and I've wondered if it was LSD. When the government was involved, there were 149 different chemicals being tested and studied. LSD was one of the more harmless ones. LSD is like lemonade, and some of that stuff is like whiskey, you know. The ayahuasca, the telepathine, that makes you totally open to apparent thoughts of others, you know, is fantastic, mind-boggling stuff. And now there's the research is continuing, and it's compartmented, and it's spread all over the United States. Virtually every university has a part of it. And now it's called consciousness studies, or it's called artificial intelligence, or it's called neural networking, or, you know, all of these things are one part of this big elephant that we find in the cave of government mind control research, because they're trying to create a psycho-civilized society where everybody's under control.
Well, I can believe that. It's a very efficient means of having a dictatorship. Our telephone number here, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Is this being done under the auspices of the CIA, of the Army? Does it make any difference?
Well, as long as we have the National Security Act, those funds are secret. The black op funds are secret. And estimates have run as high as, and I have stated this and people have jumped on me, and I have gone back and I've consulted other scientists and everything, and it still comes up to about roughly one-third of the national budget is secret operations disguised as one thing or another. And, of course, a lot of them are military. Perhaps some of them are justified, but there's just too many things in there that are pure Nazi experimentation and operations. There's insidious stuff. And now people are talking about, and there's hundreds of people telling the same story about what they're calling the mental telepathy system. It's a, it's like artificial intelligence. It's like, some people started out describing it as 12 guys in a warehouse talking to them all day and all night. And talking to them inappropriately. It's not just talking to them. It's talking to them when they're making love, giving them instructions in the most intimate times in their life, criticizing them, putting them down, fraternity boys, or the cliche one, not to cast aspersion at fraternity boys, but what the cliche of Animal House, you know. these maniacs, evil people, talking inside of a person's head and apparently seeing their emotional response, seeing that what they see, hearing what they think, and responding to all of that in a negative feedback loop, sort of an aversive therapy, 24-hour a day. Now, there are people that claim that they have been run, quote, run, unquote, like this for 10, 15 years now.
Well, this is sort of what they did in EST, Bernhardt or something of that sort.
But see, that was up front, and that was very obvious. This is an invisible thing where you don't see your handler. You don't know where it comes from. Some people swear they've got implants. We were told by the people that sold the implants that the implants became obsolete in the 60s. So there's probably some satellite link or some electromagnetic phenomenon that's occurring. One man here at the University of Arizona named Stuart Hameroff, he's in the Department of Anesthesiology. He is working with Roger Penrose in England. He's a mathematician. He swears that there are microtubules that have magnetites in them that are susceptible to, and that's in your genetic, your DNA, the tiny little DNA coil. And he says that by influencing them with modulated magnetic waves, you can take over the primitive brain of a human being and run them like a robot. And this is the kind of thing. Did you read the amazing hypothesis by Sir Francis Crick? winner of the Nobel Prize?
I really haven't.
He's part of this. He's talking about where is the soul located, in which neuron, in the left frontal lobe or what? It sounds like the most insane materialism, the most fascistic sort of approach to science you've ever heard.
Well, I think there's some frightening things going on out there. We've got Jeannie on the line. Hi, Jeannie.
Good evening. I was going to ask your guest regarding outcome-based education and the programming of the computers, but also I'm very concerned about the drugs they're giving to the children, Ritalin.
Yeah.
And will that escalate where they give harder drugs to the children through the health centers in these schools?
Well, you'll have to ask the AMA and the conspiracy that's pushing drugs in America about that. But we know that most hyperactive children are, if you track back their history, you'll find out that they were abused in an early age. And there are other ways than drugs to work with these children. As a matter of fact, there are very simple ways to work with these children to produce normal behavior very quickly. And the body of science is there for everybody to see, and it's been well studied and it's well known. And yet still, I think it's, you know, the ignorance of educators who would give drugs to children with the permission, and of course you have to have the permission of the parents to do this, so the parents, they go ahead, they don't know what to do. I had a hyperactive a nephew who was quite all right now, but he experienced that in early childhood. And well, I've gone through this question of Ritalin, you know.
Oh, tell me, how did you get him straightened away without the Ritalin?
Well, you have to treat it. You have to treat a child that has that kind of thing very much like you would treat a multiple personality disordered person. It's a tedious process and it takes time, but you have to. You know, the whole family has to be in on it and has to be educated, but you can't do it without drugs.
Okay.
The drugs just suppress the symptoms.
Sure. Okay, anything else, Jeannie?
No, that's it.
Okay, let's go to Bill here. And I remember our number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Bill, got a question or comment?
Yes, excellent show, again. You mentioned the implants and maybe having some electromagnetic frequency thrown at them and controlling people in that manner.
Yeah.
Dr. Stan has had a guest on by the name of Dr. Nick Begich, and he talks about the high-frequency active auroral research project in Alaska.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
I am.
That sounds like a link up there, doesn't it?
There is a link, and I mentioned it not based on HARP, didn't exist at the time, or at least I didn't know about it, if ARCO had that patent back in the... when I was
right.
writing the book originally in the 70s, but I did find something similar to that in Scandinavian research and Soviet research that was pumping the radio energy into the ionosphere, using the ionosphere as a mirror to then bounce signals off of Tesla-like signals that would control behavior of a whole city. You know, Norbert Wiener did the research down in Los Angeles in the 50s where he put a copper ceiling over an assembly line. He had a number of people at the assembly line doing some simple, putting nuts and bolts together so that it came out at the end a pretty simple little device. And he would measure the frequency that he put in any given day and then the effect at the end of the assembly line. Some days, the people on the assembly line would be so sick that they wouldn't show up the next day, so the output was zero, you know, and he would correlate this. He would enhance their ability to put the nuts on the bolts or whatever they were doing, and he would debilitate them depending on the frequency. And he proved this beyond the shadow of a doubt. He's the father of cybernetics.
Okay, anything else, Bill?
Yes, you're familiar with the statement, the blind force of the people is just a force that must be economized and also managed?
No, I'm not.
That was written by Albert Pike in a book called Morals and Dogma.
Oh, really? Haha, Mason.
Now,
yes.
What's the quotation again, Bill?
This is from the first page of Morals and Dogma. It says, the blind force of the people is a force that must be economized and also managed as the blind force of the team.
Yeah.
Is that page one? Or?
Page one.
Well, I'm going to go look at that, look that up again.
Now, it's interesting that his son, Albert Pike's son, I have a book here called Who's Who in America, and it's a large book that just lists different people.
Mm-hmm.
And his son, John Pike, son of Albert and Grace, born in 1911, was also in, served in psychological warfare, U.S. Army, 1942 to 1945, in ETO and Pacific areas, whereas, European Theater of Operation. Anyway, it's interesting to note that Michael Aquino, who you were talking about, is also in psychological operations of military intelligence.
Yes. And, of course, we also have, I didn't address that, earlier, there's a large Nazi movement within some of the special forces group. They even use some of the same symbols that they used in Nazi Germany. And they're all white units, you know, and they're into white supremacy and all that. And it's like mini fascistic, mini SS troop type black helicopter operations and stuff.
You know, Adolf Hitler was quoted as saying, if you think the Nazi Party was a political movement, you missed the whole point. It's a spiritual movement.
Yeah. Okay,
and when he spoke of symbols, the swastika symbolizes their spiritual beliefs.
Right.
And Masons, as well as Hindus and Buddhists, and all of them have the swastika.
Right,
as
and
their,
American Indians.
Well, that's a symbol of the sun god, Nimrod.
Yeah. We're going to have to hang on. Do you want
hey, Bill,
to hang
get
on
in touch with us to hang on.
We'll be back in just a moment, Bill. Hang on. Dr. Stan here on Radio Liberty, and we want to remind you about a few of the things that we have that we think that you probably ought to think about getting, and certainly we have a wonderful new video, Obstruction of Justice. They're showing it down in Arkansas because it deals with the tragedy of the two boys on the railway track who were killed in Arkansas, and then all the other people who were killed, and it all went back, according to the video, to Mr. Dan Harmon, who was the chief prosecutor in Saline County, where all this occurred. And so every time somebody was going to come forward and tell the truth about what was going on, they reported it to Mr. Dan Harwood, Harmon, I should say, and of course he would see that they never lived to tell the story. Now, that sounds like just sort of a cloak and dagger sort of situation. The tragedy is, of course, that it's true. Obstruction of justice, you'll meet Linda Ives, whose son was killed on the railway track, Jean Duffy, who we've interviewed, who used to head the drug task force, and of course she was indicted by Dan Harmon and demanded that she turn over all of her records, which of course pointed to Dan Harmon as the man responsible, the mastermind. But of course behind Dan Harmon, there were powerful forces going all the way up to the office of then governor of Arkansas, a man named William Blythe Jefferson Clinton. Well, Obstruction of Justice, as well as a number of other excellent videotapes, is available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you haven't seen the video on Oklahoma City, we recommend it. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for Obstruction of Justice. This is Dr. Stan back here on Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Mr. Walter Bowert, and his address, Post Office Box 35072, Tucson, Arizona, 85740-5072. Or if you want to reach him through email, it's freethought@juno.com. com. How am I doing?
Good.
Okay, fine. Bill, anything else?
No, your guess is that.
Hey, Bill, have you read the Muqaddima?
The what?
The Muqaddima by Ibn Khaldun.
No.
Published by Bollingen Foundation, Princeton. And it was originally written in the 13th century. Originally, I think Random House published it, and it was a two-volume series. But this man, Toynbee, called him the greatest historian that ever lived. And he was looking at the large pattern of Western history. And he says that the dynasty rules Western civilization by the display, the consumption of wealth, and the display of luxury. It's like the carrot. Everybody can have it. He said that the wealth comes from the Bedouins in those days. These are the people that lived in the desert who did more with less, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real power base of the economy. And he said then, but to protect the dynasty, the ruling class, from the Bedouins, they had to maintain a police force or an army. And of course, every year the army would want more and more, so the dynasty would have to tax the Bedouins more and more to pay the army. Okay, well, eventually there's nobody left to tax, and of course the dynasty has become so corrupt and so out of touch with the group feeling, and group feeling was what put them there in the first place. And Ibn Khaldun talks a lot about group feeling, the group feeling, and he said that one of three things will happen: either the army will take over the dynasty, but because the army is an army, it is Spartan, and it doesn't know how to display luxury, so it can't motivate the economy. It can consume wealth in war, but it cannot. It has a missing part. It can't do the luxury part, or it collapses back to the local dynasty, which really don't. They really don't know how to do the pomp and circumstance to display the wealth either. So eventually, any way you cut it, a person rises up, person or persons rise up out of the Bedouins in those days, and expresses the group feeling, and by the force of group feeling, overthrows the dynasty and sets up their dynasty, which serves the Bedouins and is true to the group feeling no more than three generations or 75 years, then the whole thing starts all over again. And I think we're well past our 75 years. And I think the thing that we're seeing now is an attempt in this mind control technology, is an attempt to take over and run the group feeling, which remains to be seen if that can be done.
Okay,
well,
Bill, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Good night.
Okay,
God bless. Okay, Mr. Bowen, I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight.
It's been
a fascinating time, and if you didn't get that address, want to call us after the program here, we'll get it for you. Mr. Walter Bowen, Freedom of Thought Foundation, his book, Mind Control. He's got a newsletter. You can join the Freedom of Thought Foundation and, of course, get a copy of the book. So until next time, thanks so very much. I think we're going to have you on our afternoon program. Bye-bye, and God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Dr. Stan, we want to remind you, we're listener-supported. If you'd like to write to us, Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, for a gift of $20 or more a month, we'll send you the four best tapes of the month. If you'd like to help us get this message out far and wide across America, while there's still time, why, we'd love to hear from you. Once again, that address, Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95073. We've got a couple of great programs on. You won't want to miss them the rest of this week. Till tomorrow, Dr. Stan, good night. God bless you.